Would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, these moments are yours, and we ask you now to make your word come alive in our hearts and minds for Jesus' sake. Amen. Many years ago, I learned something that should have seemed obvious to me, namely that possessing a tool or other resource does no good if the person having that tool or resource is not willing to use it or doesn't know how to use it. It was November of 1965 in Houghton, New York. I had recently been appointed to the Houghton Fire Department. Like all Houghton firefighters, after undergoing extensive State of New York required training, I had been issued boots, a helmet, gloves, a coat, and in the pocket of that coat, I had been issued two foldable spanner wrenches. One night, an alarm sounded, and the engine company to which I was assigned was dispatched to a house fire several miles outside of town. Upon arrival, we did what we had been taught to do. We stretched pre-connected hose lines and began to apply water to the seat of the fire. A few minutes after our attack began, the assistant fire chief grabbed the firefighter standing next to me and pointed to a leaking coupling along the attack line. The firefighter stood there for a moment and said to the chief, "What do you want me to do?" With a puzzled look on his face, the assistant chief replied, "Use your spanner wrenches and tighten that coupling." "What spanner wrenches?" the firefighter answered. "The spanner wrenches in your coat pocket," the assistant chief replied. The firefighter reached into the pocket of his coat and withdrew two foldable spanner wrenches. But he looked at them as if he had never seen them before. And in that moment, I realized this firefighter had been issued a tool that he couldn't remember how to use. The assistant chief took the two spanner wrenches, knelt on the ground next to the leaking coupling, and quickly tightened the joint to stop the leak. You see, possessing a tool or other resource does no good if the person having that tool or resource is not willing or doesn't know how to use it. As followers of Jesus, God has given us tools to give us the ability to perform as his ambassadors to a troubled and needy world. We call the tools God has given us redeeming works because of and through his precious Son Jesus, these redeeming works enable us to serve God well in sharing our faith in him with others. Today, I want to focus on just one of those redeeming works. I do so to help make certain each one of us, including me, understand that particular redeeming work and know how to use it for the glory of God. The redeeming work that I want to focus on today is God-breathed agape love. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 6 and verses 13 through 18, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out or you'll be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Holy Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit desires what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Holy Spirit, you are not under the law." In order to follow the Apostle Paul's admonition that the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love, we Christians do well to explore the role God-breathed agape love plays in our spiritual relationships. The most familiar passage of Scripture regarding God-breathed agape love contains these opening words as recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. The Apostle Paul writes, "If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship, that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing." I've explained several times in various past sermons that the New Testament Koine Greek language actually contains four words that translate into the single English word love: agape, phileo, storge, and eros, although only agape and phileo appear in Scripture. However, in this case, the Apostle Paul specifically uses the Koine Greek word agape throughout this passage. Agape is the Koine Greek word that indicates God-breathed love, a very special love that flows to us from God. It is not a love that we can conjure up within us. It comes to us purely as a redeeming work from God, who loves us and breathes his love into us because he has chosen us to belong to himself. Having received this marvelous redeeming work of God's love, in every one of our interpersonal relationships, we can see this love manifested here on earth. So we show this God-breathed agape love to the members of our family, to our brothers and sisters in Christ, and to every person with whom we come into contact. In a very real sense, we are experiencing the reality of the Apostle Paul's words found in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, where Paul writes, "And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." You see, we are God's love bearers. We carry his redeeming work of love within us, and we manifest this God-breathed agape love in each of our relationships with others. We do so as God's emissaries, as his ambassadors. In a sentence, the point I wish to emphasize today: God intends for his God-breathed agape love to overwhelm his dearly loved children and enable them to become more like Jesus. Again, God intends for his God-breathed agape love to overwhelm his dearly loved children and enable them to become more like Jesus. God graciously imbues us with his God-breathed agape love, so that in the most positive way possible on behalf of God, we can touch the lives of those with whom we have relationships. Now, God-breathed agape love has some very definite characteristics. The Apostle Paul details them as recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 and 5. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Most Christians would agree that these characteristics of God-breathed agape love are highly desirable. And most Christians would also agree that we cannot guarantee a consistent delivery of these characteristics by relying on our own competency. That's why we need God to breathe his agape love into us, so that as we face each new day, we can gratefully and humbly allow God to use us as vehicles of his divine agape love. As Christians, Christ ones, we have the opportunity to become instruments of God's mercy, grace, and life-changing agape love. But how do we do this when our natural inclinations always seem to turn us away from genuine love? Fortunately, the scripture teaches us throughout the Bible that God enables our efforts on his behalf by graciously imbuing us with this amazing, unchanging, unfailing love. This love equips us so that we can use this God-breathed agape love in order to effectively touch the lives of those people who show up along the pathway of our lives. As I suggested, God's agape love has some very definite characteristics. The Apostle Paul continues to detail these characteristics as recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 6 and 7. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Certainly, we can acknowledge that strictly on our own, it would not be at all possible for us to consistently love anyone throughout the course of our lives with a love that meets these high standards and embodies these characteristics as detailed by the Apostle Paul. That's why we cannot depend on the strength of our own wills, on the nature of our own character, or on the depth of our own personal reservoir of human love. Rather, we must rely on God to breathe his unfailing, undying agape love into us through the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. In our spiritual lives, the most relevant and vibrant form of God-breathed agape love is revealed to us in the act of Jesus dying on the cross in order to pay the penalty for our sins. This embodiment of agape love so far exceeds any other example that it actually defines the essence of God-breathed agape love. It's also important to note that God's agape love is pervasive. Through the lives and testimony of those of us who follow Jesus, every human in our sphere of influence is touched by God's agape love. We are indeed Christ's ambassadors, his emissaries of God-breathed agape love. As every new day opens up before us, we must remember how magnificently God's agape love has impacted our own lives. In response, we must live in such a way that we honor the sacrifice that Christ has made in our behalf. And we must determine to allow the Holy Spirit to enable us to show God-breathed agape love to every person who comes in contact with us throughout the day. After carefully examining our current American culture, it's quite natural for us to wonder whether or not love can really last. We may ask ourselves, can love endure the hardships along the road of life? Can love actually become a permanent reality? From a purely human standpoint, perhaps not. But what about from a spiritual standpoint? Can God's agape love endure? That's exactly the question the Apostle Paul poses to the Christians gathered in the church at Rome, as recorded in Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Paul writes, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword?" Paul asks a very pertinent question. Does God's love for us endure? Here's Paul's startlingly positive answer found in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. "For I am convinced," Paul writes, "that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." So Paul's answer is indeed a resounding yes. God's agape love for us is permanent. He will never turn his back on us. He will never become a fickle lover. Instead, we can rest securely on the foundation of his agape love for both time and for eternity. We may be prompted to ask, how does the enduring agape love of God affect the love we have toward others? Should the permanent nature of God-breathed agape love influence the permanent nature of our own love? In what ways does such an absolutely permanent love change us? Once we belong to God, how does the permanence of his agape love shape our new world? As a critically important redeeming work, God's unfailing, undying agape love gives us a God-breathed love that not only sustains us as we travel the road of our lives, it gives us a love that we can surely pass on to others as a love that will never fail. God-breathed agape love does not depend on our emotions. It does not depend on which side of the bed we got up on in the morning. It does not waver when someone behaves badly toward us or hurts our feelings or turns his or her back on us or even seems to betray us, betray our love, or betray our trust. God-breathed agape love comes from the heart of the God who loves us with a love so rooted in his very nature that it can't help but bring with it a power so enormous that no opposition from any other force can possibly repel it. Let's rejoice today that God breathes his ever-enduring agape love into us so that we might share that love with others. Yes, God's agape love does last forever. It does endure no matter what may happen in our daily lives. God will never allow us, his dear children, to be separated from his love. And this God-breathed agape love can implant within us a love that we can share with others, a love that has divine power to bind us inseparably to those we love. Tucked away in the heart of the Genesee Valley of Allegheny County in New York State, Houghton University stands as a significant locale for much of my early adulthood spiritual formation. One family name stands out at Houghton as having contributed significantly to the furtherance of Christ and his kingdom. That family name is Shea. Various Shea family members have risen to notoriety not only at Houghton University, but throughout the evangelical Christian world. In fact, a Houghton University classmate of ours, Paul Shea, after a lifetime of service as both a missionary and as a professor of Bible at Houghton University, in his own semi-retirement, continues to serve on the pastoral staff of the Houghton Wesleyan Church as a minister to his fellow senior citizens. One member of the Shea family that most of you may have heard of is the late George Beverly Shea, the baritone soloist who accompanied Billy Graham on his many evangelistic crusades in the United States and around the world. One of Bev Shea's most famous and most requested songs was Frederick M. Lehman's The Love of God. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints' and angels' song. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stock on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints' and angels' song. And what is the purpose of this God-breathed agape love? As I suggested to you earlier, God intends for his God-breathed agape love to overwhelm his dearly loved children and enable them to become more like Jesus. We followers of Jesus need to humbly and gratefully receive God's redeeming work of his God-breathed agape love and grasp it tightly, so that with that God-breathed agape love permeating every aspect of our four human modalities, emotional, spiritual, intellectual, and physical, we can share that love in ways that validate our role as ambassadors for Christ and for his kingdom. As we conclude our focus on the power of God-breathed agape love, let us once again hear these words from our epistle text for this Sunday, taken from Romans 11, verses 33 through 36. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out! For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Yes, indeed, may this be so for each one of us this Sunday and throughout the weeks and months and years ahead. Amen.